Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Alrighty, it is the end of week two, almost, and this is the PFF forecast. We're rolling live here on a Sunday evening, about 11:40 p.m. Just watched the Baltimore Ravens pull their ball sack out, throw it on the table, and take Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the healthy Chiefs behind the woodshed. Got the W at home after a short week, losing in overtime to the Raiders. We're going to talk about that game. Here to start that this podcast off, we're going to do a little bit of looking at the league now after 2 weeks, who our top five teams are, who we think the MVP race is shaping up with, and then we are, of course, going to get into week three. We're going to guess the lines and talk about the best bets to make tonight. Ironically, Eric, a week ago, the line that stuck out perhaps the most to us was Kansas City -2.5.
Yep.
That ended up being a great bet if you got it because the line closed at four and a half. I would have to say my takeaway from that game was I felt the Chiefs were in control of it the entire way. Where did that stop, I guess, is my question. Did they lose control of the game?
They threw an interception. It was the first time. This is the first September game Mahomes has lost. The first September game he's turned the ball over with an interception. That certainly turned it a little bit right because they had, what was it, a 35-24 lead, and they really never scored again. That probably helped, you know, bend the tide against them. I also think, interestingly, like this was a classic Kansas City Chiefs defensive game where you know, Daniel Sorensen missed all kinds of tackles, but Tyrann Mathieu made up for a lot of, you know, poor play with big plays. But ultimately, the Chiefs were unable offensively to sort of like arm's length. Mm-hmm. You know, like they made big plays, right? Like the two touchdowns in the second half were both long plays. They really did, like their defense was on the field a long time. And the Ravens stopped doing things that made them less efficient, right? Like I was sweating through some of the props we had on the prop stool, which by the way was up like 24 units today, which was kind of neat.
Even more if you actually bet based on confidence.
Yeah. But Lamar went under his completions prop, under his attempts prop, over his yardage prop, which is kind of like interesting. But like they just simply ran the ball, you know, down Kansas City's throat in the second half, and they stuck with what was right. And then we talked about this on the live show this morning about Dallas and how they played Tampa Bay. They started that game like they were 10-point underdogs, right? Which I thought was great. That was all their passing. The Ravens played this game like they needed a tactical advantage to win. And they did, right?
What do you think what were some of the ways that they did that? Because I have a couple in mind.
Well, I think on defense, they didn't play the defense that Mahomes tends to fillet. They only blitzed, by our count, what, six times? Mm-hmm. And they played a lot of zone, which is good because they don't have the horses. In fact, their best defensive player, Marlon Humphrey, is one of the worst players in the league right now in terms of giving up yardage and coverage. So they sort of stayed away from that. It looks like they found an edge in picking up Odafe Owe in the draft, a guy with no sacks as a final year player at Penn State, but you know, had a lot of pressures, right? The smart teams buy pressures, the dumb teams buy sacks. What do you think? I mean, the other one was legitimately like they stayed away from the stuff that was harming their offense vis-a-vis Lamar. And they were leaning into the things that made their offense better, which was Lamar Jackson mostly being a runner and the passing stuff being sort of the more wide open things.
Yeah, I think there were two big ones. The first is that you are so much better off making – this is what happened in the Super Bowl. Now, it looks very different in this game because in the Super Bowl, obviously, Mahomes was under a ton of pressure and he wasn't necessarily in this game. But when you take away Tyreek Hill and you make the explosive plays come from other players, it's going to be hard to come by. And they actually got a couple, right? They were after the catch, Byron Pringle, Travis Kelce. But some of that explosiveness with the Chiefs, it was there, but it wasn't quite as the threat with Tyreek Hill is just so much scarier. And they did a really great job of taking him away. Now, that said, the Chiefs still averaged 8.3 yards per play, right? They outgained the Baltimore Ravens, who were about 7.1. But here's the thing. Running the ball when you can do it at like a 10 yard per carry clip, the way that Lamar Jackson did, like you're just not going to win very many games if you give up that many yards per carry. Like that's, you're just going to get destroyed. And that's what happened, right? The Ravens ultimately had the ball for like 36 of the 60 minutes and were able to control the game that way. I also thought the Mahomes interception, it was, and I hate to say this, but it was like a Jameis Winston type play.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so uncharacteristic of him. And I agree with you. I think that's where it changed. I mean, that's where the complexity of the game changed. And we also have to shout out John Harbaugh. I mean, the willingness to go for that fourth and one, it's something that you expect from him, but we see coaches left and right, you know, throughout the NFL slate that we saw today, incapable of making decisions like that. It was a huge edge for them.
I mean,
to go
college
for
football
it.
Too. We saw in that big, the Penn State Auburn game where they literally kicked a field goal to go down one when they're, I mean, these people, it's funny, like I was interacting with people on Twitter before this and it was like, stop pretending that every coach wouldn't make this decision. I'm like, what NFL have you watched for the last 30 years of your life?
I'm telling you right now, Matt Rhule is literally
Matt Rhule is punting that ball if it's at the other team's 40, let alone his own, right? Andy Reid's punting that ball, and he's trusting his defense. Maybe.
Well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire ain't picking that shit up.
I mean, fuck me. I can't, like...
David Culley would go out there, go for it, get them to jump off sides, and then say, decline it and punt it.
I mean, there are 32 men who have these jobs, and they're supposedly the elite ones. By the way,
the play I'm referencing is that if you didn't see it, and Ben Solak, friend of the podcast, tweeted this out, David Culley had an opportunity to take a penalty that would have made it a third down, and instead decided to decline the penalty, go to fourth down, and punt the ball. Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. This is kind of a betting question, but also just about these two teams. The Ravens and the Raiders played an overtime game on Monday night and were faded pretty heavily by the public.
Mm-hmm.
Both were underdogs. Both won outright. I guess what's your take? You know, your takeaway from
well,
from that?
This is very interesting. So there was a tweet that came out on Fox Bet, right? That said, the Fox Bet, one of the ticket counters or whatever, was saying like, I can't get somebody to bet on the Ravens, right? I can't get somebody to bet on the Ravens, blah blah blah. And I'm like, well, you people have to be careful about this because Fox Bet is like, for lack of a more endearing term, a square book. Right, they're copying lines from places like BetCris, from places like Pinnacle, from places that take sharp money. And the fact of the matter is, you know, there were big bets that got the number out to 4, maybe 4.5 in some places, but it settled in at 3.5. And the fact is, if there was no resistance to bets on Kansas City, this that number would have grown, right? That's how this thing works. And so there were people, and whether that be like a middling situation where like you got some 2.5 and now you wanted some 4.5 or 3.5 and you wanted that you know, the action there on the three, like there were people betting the Ravens. There were people who mattered who bet the Ravens. They might not have bet it at Foxbet, right? But they bet it somewhere. And to me, like this week, don't you think, okay, so you look at this week, right? It was a good example of what week one, and we talked about this on the show the other day, where like all the 11-5 teams that lost or struggled in week one last year. Tennessee was a team, and I got to look up their play action numbers. I noticed them running play action a lot more. Mm-hmm. They win a game in Seattle, a game where they were down by multiple scores. Obviously, Baltimore was a team that didn't look great in the second half. They go ahead and beat Kansas City at home. You know, even a team like Atlanta, who looked terrible against the Eagles. Now, I'm not saying they played a great game, but they had Tampa Bay sort of on the ropes at 28-25 in the fourth quarter, got the ball back, right?
Yep.
And so, again, they played a game effort. And so, like, none of these things are and Buffalo blew out Miami, although I think that was kind of wind-aided by Tua Tagovailoa being hurt, and then Indianapolis covers the spread at home after looking terrible last week.
It's a week-to-week league.
It is a week-to-week league, but it's also just a don't overreact to 1 week's worth of data league. I mean, Chicago beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati, a very impressive win over Minnesota. Chicago looked terrible against L.A. And it's not like Justin Fields played terrific off the bench. It's just that, like, the Bengals were so bad that it opened the door.
The Zach Taylor Bengals offense is one of the most disgusting things I've seen. And I live in Cincinnati, so I see Skyline Chili commercials.
Yeah. I mean, what would you rather do? Would you rather eat Skyline Chili or watch, like, let's say
have one to watch the Bengals and only the Bengals every week?
Yeah. Like, if you had to watch the Bengals offense on film, like all 1,200 plays or whatever in a season, if you had to watch that in one day, like just in one sitting, you can't even get up. You can go to the bathroom, but you can't, like, you can't order food or anything. Yeah. Would you rather do that, or would you rather like eat Skyline Chili to get you out of that?
Yeah, I'd watch the Bengals play.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I sort
one
of
one day, like just sacrificing one day. Yeah, there's no way.
But like, how about if he was like talking to you about it during, like, if he was trying to explain to you why Joe Mixon runs the ball as much as he does?
Look, if I had to bet on every Bengals game for the rest of the season, maybe it'd be a different.
Joe Mixon got all. So Joe Mixon got every single carry for the Bengals today, 20 for 69 yards, which nice. But like, there's just no like creativity there. And he made Burrow look like shit, which Burrow's a better quarterback than that.
It was not pretty. Last thing on the Chiefs Ravens, Patrick Mahomes over 2.5 passing touchdowns, plus 120 was the lock of the week. So we're 2 for 2 on Patrick Mahomes, lock of the week, passing touchdown props. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that, and it made up for the Chiefs not even being able to obviously cover 2.5, which I still think was a right bet. And you obviously got a ton of closing line value. You could have had a nice middle there if you wanted at 3, as we talked about on Wednesday. Let's do this. Let's kind of set the table now for how we look in, move on to week 3. Give me your top 5 teams in the NFL now heading into week 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be like, it's always hard for me to go, but I do think, the power numbers are going to come out and say Kansas City is 1. But I will say that I think from my perspective, I think it's going to be I would put Tampa Bay 1, Kansas City 2. And then after that, it's a cluster.
It really is.
It really is a cluster. So bear with me here, but I think it's the next 3 are something like Buffalo, Baltimore with all their flaws, but they're not a dumb team, and Cleveland.
I like that. I am.
Notice 4 AFC teams, and then the Tampa just buy them their freaking selves.
The Tampa Bay Bucks. Okay, we are gonna watch.
What about you?
So I'm gonna go Tampa 1, Kansas City 2. At 3, I think this is an interesting one because you talk about not overreacting to 1 week. The Packers look like absolute ass cheeks. It was so bad, right? But I think the Packers are a lot better than that. I still think the Packers are and now this is tough because I think if I look at the second NFC team, it's between them and the Rams at this point. I think both those teams are good.
So you're not buying into San Francisco's potential?
They beat the crappy Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, so Philly's not a juggernaut.
Okay. Tampa Bay 1, Kansas City 2. At number 3, this is going to surprise some people, I'm going to go with Cleveland. I think they're the real deal.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens at 4. And at number 5, I'm going to keep the Green Bay Packers there. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Bills.
So you're out on Buffalo.
The Buffalo Bills don't make it because I'm a little – Josh Allen's regressing a little bit in the accuracy department, beating the Miami Dolphins with Jacoby Brissett.
Does not a championship caliber team yeah. make. Yeah.
So, look, I still think they rebound, but that's just how I have it right now. Who do you think is the second best team in the NFC?
I do think, man, the hard part is you watch New Orleans play this week and you're like, holy shit, that can go south really mm-hmm. quickly. If you throw out week one as a result, it's Green Bay. But like, we've only got one game of data on Green Bay and it looks terrible. I did say on the live show today, I thought the Saints, we weren't baking in, and this is probably our thing. Like in our models, we don't have has fatigue from not being at home for 21 days mm-hmm. or so. Right. Yeah. But like that was an issue, right? Like in the 2005 season, when the Saints were moved because of Hurricane Katrina, they won opening day too.
Right.
And then, you know, eventually it catches up to you. Hopefully they're going back to New Orleans in a couple weeks, which will be nice for them, and they can get back to having a normal season, but they certainly did not look great today. I'll say Los Angeles, but man, I don't think Los Angeles is a Super Bowl caliber team. So I'm basically just like consolidating all of my love in the NFC on one team, which is Tampa.
You only have so much NFC love.
I mean, I think San Francisco has more potential, but I would not. If San Francisco, so like, here's the thing. If LA, I mean, LA is, I think, favored, or maybe it's a pick 'em on a new at home against Tampa next week, mm-hmm. right? Like,
we're gonna find out.
How many teams in the NFC are favored against Los Angeles on a neutral field? Just Tampa, right?
Yeah, I want to see. Let's watch the Packers play tomorrow.
Okay.
I agree with you. We've seen the Packers play like absolute garbage in Florida before.
Mm-hmm. We have.
It's just like, it's an uncomfortable place for Aaron Rodgers. Apparently, he doesn't like that spot very much.
Do you think it's like family moved there or something? Like that would be the only explanation.
I don't know. Perhaps. Before we move on, I want to do MVP rankings in a second, but let's look at the 0-2 teams here.
Okay.
Your Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Our New York Giants.
Yeah.
Our Atlanta Falcons. Potentially the Detroit Lions. Our New York Jets. Our Indianapolis Colts. And our Jacksonville Jaguars. Do any of these teams have a shot in your mind of coming back and making the playoffs? Are they all dead?
I mean, of them, it's probably Minnesota that has the best chance, right? Mm-hmm. Like they have, you know, Kirk Cousins right now, before review, has the second highest PFF grade. I think part of that is because they don't trust him, right? So you saw like the penultimate drive before the missed field goal. There was like, 4 minutes left in the game. The Vikings ran on early downs to Dalvin Cook. They ran screen, like even on the last drive, they ran the ball and then threw a screen to Dalvin to get themselves out of trouble. And then Kirk made a couple good passes. Right. Like and yet they still lost both games. And it was supposed to be an easy part of their schedule. They get Seattle this week at home. Maybe it's the Colts, right? Because like, but the problem is Carson Wentz is so bad,
and
George.
He's got a football injury or
a football injury. He certainly has a football injury.
He certainly but, like, does. We put had, his foot. I believe it was actually they're calling it an ankle sprain.
But remember this time Monday, remember I messaged you in Slack and I was like, I kind of like the Colts this week. Yeah. And like, I think you were busy in New York or something. You like never responded. I figured like, oh, maybe George hates this. So then we're in the fucking pit of misery, like with Colts plus 3.5, just yep. grinding out that game. And Carson Wentz, my God, and that was
tough. I'm riding off the Colts. Okay. I
what about
they are screwed? I'll say this. I think of these teams, and here's the thing with the Vikings. The Vikings play in a division with a clear cut. Like the Packers, I'm still going to say this, are the better team, the best team in that division. It's not even close. The Giants are interesting to me.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And the reason the Giants are interesting is that division is still a complete shit show. Yes, they're 0-2. But they will be able to compete still, in my opinion, for a division title. That's just the way that's going to break. And like the Vikings, it's the NFC. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be more of an opportunity for, and here's the thing, and I know this is going to surprise a lot of people. Daniel Jones playing really well.
He's the third highest grade in our system, right?
Yeah, pending review here. And I think that needs to count for something, because here's the thing. Their run blocking is one of the most hideous things you can find. Like, it's like, because I was just in New York. It's like the halal cart. It's like getting that, but then not eating it, taking it home, leaving it out, and then the next morning eating it. That is what the New York
Giants.
You
know what's crazy, though?
By the way, I have a recommendation coming for the people. Okay. Later today or later in this podcast. But Daniel Jones has not been – it hasn't been these exceptional plays, but he has been accurate with the football. He's made a couple of big-time throws. Like, Daniel Jones has been good, so I think that's the one.
So right before that game, I was actually in Ultimate. I was talking to somebody who I was sort of getting them up to speed on Ultimate, and one of the case studies we were using were the Giants. And the Giants were one of those teams that just like did everything wrong in week one. But they had like 10 of their whatever, 40 dropbacks, let's say, were play action. And I showed this person how to watch all of them, right? How to filter the film and watch all of them. And on all of 10 Daniel Jones dropbacks of play action, he had a clean pocket. It was like amazing to watch. Everybody's like, oh, this offensive line's not functional. It's like, no, it's like other teams' offensive lines are fundamentally similar to yours. Mm-hmm. They just give them a chance, you know? Yeah. And then you watch Thursday Night Football, and, you know, I'm not trying to do a victory lap here, but everybody said that Washington's defense was one of the best in the NFL, and they very well could be. They got a lot of talent. But I thought Jason Garrett actually called an okay game. They ran play action. They did some things. And it's amazing that if you give your offense a chance, you can score points.
Yeah, I will say, going back to that game, that offense looked very, very bad for a large chunk of that game. Came back, and Giants money line was a great bet, and I was not
pissed,
pleased
yeah.
that it did not hit. Let's do this before we get into week three. MVP race is interesting. I'm particularly interested in it because of some bets that we've placed. I'm
Matt Ryan,
you,
Ted. Do you think?
I think Matt Ryan's not going to make it. but let's do our MVPs. I'm gonna do three. I think that's fair. So my top three MVPs right now. Thomas Brady is number one, and in my opinion, it's with a bullet. He's gonna be the highest graded quarterback. It looks like after 2 weeks, he's throwing the ball better than I think he's ever thrown.
Yeah.
And it's an absolutely beautiful thing to watch. And anyone that wants to hate on Tom Brady because he's been at the top for a while should just go cry in a corner by themselves. Enjoy greatness. Okay. Number two. It's going to surprise a few people. Maybe not as much, actually, as my number three here. But number two is Derek Carr.
Yeah.
And it's very close between him and Kyler. And Kyler is number three. And I, the argument for Kyler at number two is that he has Cliff Kingsbury over there, who looks at his play card and every single play sucks, and then Kyler makes them great.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that Kyler is number three and Derek Carr is number two, is that that Minnesota game, like, the Cardinals should have lost. And the reason they should have lost is that Kyler Murray put some balls up for grabs that should have cost them the game.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Carr has made just as many big-time throws as Kyler Murray has, but he is giving his team more of a chance to win. And the game that he beat the Ravens as an underdog, and he beat the Steelers as an underdog.
And he's gone into Kansas City before and beaten Mahomes too. Like, yeah, we're talking about, so we're, and I'm heavily on Raiders over 7.5. And there was always this issue about their schedule is hard, right? They had everybody talked about it, and they did have a hard schedule. I mean, you've knocked off Ravens, Steelers. I mean, we don't like the Steelers, but they're not a terrible team, right? You've gone on the road, beat the Steelers. You knocked off
on a short week.
You knocked
everyone and their mother faded you.
Yeah. Interestingly,
even the ESPN betting show, which has a rule, they only bet on popular favorites.
And the funny thing is that, like, teams going West Coast to East Coast have actually, like, done well in recent years. I do think it's baked in at this point. But the interesting thing I found, Casey Hayward has not given up a catch into his coverage yet. Like, there were a lot of, like, sneaky things that teams did this offseason that were just, like, we overlooked a little.
The Raiders defense is not a bad unit.
Yeah, it's nowhere. Like, it's not as bad as Kansas City's, for fuck's sake, right now.
Like, the Raiders defense, like, KJ Wright, like, KJ, one of the most amazing things in the NFL is that there are really good players who, like, just get picked up.
Yeah, which, by the way, like, if you, because the other one that ticked me off is Melvin Ingram. And, like, I asked a couple people being like, hey, why aren't you signing Melvin Ingram? He's like, well, he's old and, like, we don't have actually that much money. It's like those kind of moves are why you need to have, like, functional cap people and, like, and not try to overextend yourself all the time, because those are what I call the dollar bills, like, you're picking up off the ground.
Yep.
You know, and they get pressure now. They also, like, are extremely pragmatic. So the interesting thing about their offense is that Henry Ruggs is the 11th overall pick in the draft. He certainly doesn't have that role with the team, but he has a functional role with the team given how good he is right now. And I'll give this to Gruden. Gruden's not done a great job, along with Mayock, of acquiring players. But once he has the players in the building, I think he does a good job of getting the most out of them.
Yeah. And look, Gruden's doing a lot more for Derek Carr than Cliff is for,
well, like,
for Kyler.
Because here's the question. Because I look at Derek Carr, and I'm starting to think, and granted, his wage is reasonable, right? So I look at Derek Carr, and I actually, like, you know, and I didn't have him this way going into the season. I thought a lot of it was Gruden last year. It was also the same thing for Tannehill with me. You know, Cousins has sort of proven that he kind of does deserve, like, that fringe top 10. But, like, I think Carr you could make a very compelling case that Carr deserves to be in that sort of, like, tier above, sort of that tier between, let's say, Prescott and the Kirks of the world, yeah, right? The Tannehills and the Kirk Cousins and the, like, it, because we, his high-end play has been very good and, like, elite-level offense. And, like, I mean, who caught the touchdowns for them today? Foster, Moreau, right? Yeah. Henry Ruggs was on the deep shot. He was taking shot after shot after shot. They put Alex Leatherwood at right tackle to pass protect. And I know T.J. Watt missed some of the game, but T.J. Watt and Melvin Ingram, and, like, Derek Carr's not out there bitching about his protection. He's just out there making freaking plays.
Yeah, here's the thing. Because I really, like, I'm a huge Kyler Murray fan. So, like, I think Derek Carr and Kyler are, like, neck and neck. I think Brady clearly number one. But here's just a couple more things. Derek Carr has had to drop back to pass 107 times. Kyler Murray, 79. There is a difference. You talked about those Kirk Cousins. doing it in a position where you are an underdog and you have to drop back to fucking throw every single time, that is a big deal. And Derek Carr's average depth of target is 10 yards downfield. It's very impressive what he's doing. It's very impressive what Kyler Murray's doing. Would you have a different top three?
The very impressive thing about Derek Carr is the 3 years, including this year, the 2 years under Gruden, he averaged 7.9 yards per attempt both season, 19 and 20. In 19, it was dink and dunk. In 20, it was down the football field. Mm. The one thing that sold me on the Raiders this year and why I bet a lot, like I think that they're my biggest position over, was that Derek Carr was able to evolve with the changing needs of the offense. And I think right now I would put him over Kyler because Carr hasn't made the mistakes that Kyler has. So like Kyler, I mean, the fact of the matter is, Kyler kind of kept both teams in the game today, right? Like, good on him. They were down by 2 touchdowns against Minnesota, but like, and they came back, but they had a controlling lead of the game. And then he throws an interception in the middle of the field to Xavier Woods. He like, it wasn't a perfect game for him. But I think Carr, I mean, other than like Darren Waller dropping a lot of passes on Monday Night Football, where have been the mistakes?
Derek Carr has had 6 passes dropped. Kyler Murray's had 1. Like,
yeah.
Derek Carr has overcome some speed bumps, and I think, you know, like the Cardinals should be 1-1 if Minnesota.
I guess he does have 3 turnover worthy plays, which is,
but it's
which,
timing. The timing,
yeah, Murray
of those,
has the same.
The timing of those plays matters, yeah, right?
So Carr and Murray lead the NFL with 9 big time throws each, 3 turnover worthy plays. Murray does have the 3 interceptions. Like that, obviously, if you're betting, that's going to make a difference. Fundamentally, predictably, right? The fact that Kyler also has the 7 touchdowns is also gonna, you know, factor in too. I do agree with you that right now it's Brady. The hard part from a narrative perspective is that the Bucs, when you watch the first 2 games, especially against teams like Atlanta, their opponents are gonna be a lot more like Atlanta in many cases this year than they are gonna be like Dallas. And If they go run, like, no one noticed the Bucs playing today, right? Because like the other games on at 4 o'clock were really compelling. Dallas versus LAC, you know, even Seattle, Tennessee was a barn burner that went into overtime. And then Minnesota, Arizona was also a barn burner. Like Brady just kind of took care of business. And like a lot of us noticed because we're like more than just casual fans.
This is a crazy take that you have. I don't understand where you think that people are overlooking Tom Brady. The dude is going to be the talk of the town. Okay.
Hold on. But
he's going to be all over social media. He has the most touchdowns in the NFL.
Okay.
He's got the most touchdowns he's ever started with through 2 games.
Okay.
And your point about him playing bad teams is only going to help that.
Yeah, sure. However, why the hell preseason was his MVP odds high, like,
people were sleeping at the fucking wheel, and I fucking told you to bet Tom Brady 16-1.
I understand that, but the priors are baked into the market. The priors are baked into the market for longer than we like to think. So like the fact that he's 16-1 early on, and the Bucs are 7-1 to win the Super Bowl, that incongruence carries.
Yes,
like,
because
what I'm
people
saying
look
is,
at box score stats and they saw his like career high in interceptions, and their brain fucking leaks.
But that
out
was
of
even pre. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But George, you and I aren't voting for MVP. That's my point. Is like, I think I'm trying to see the process in which the award is made.
Yes,
if Kyler Murray is in a bunch of games like we just saw. And
he's going to lose a lot more games.
Of course, but one of those quarterbacks is going to win and catch and run good on all of those, right?
And it's
going
to be Tom fucking Brady.
But Brady's
You're
not
going
to be in close games. Like that.
How much do you want to bet on this right now?
So what is the bet? What are the fair odds right now on Brady to win MVP? I don't see it on DraftKings. Let's look at BetOnline.
They're not going to be up right now. I mean, they're not.
I'm not gonna bet you straight up because obviously,
if Brady isn't the favorite to be the MVP tomorrow, you should bet it. Would be my take.
Okay, and I think that there is a chance that because of the way it lands, right? So like,
Kyler Murray is on the fourth best team in his division.
Okay. Okay. And so is Derek Carr in the eyes of the market. So, but if they play consistently compelling games and they finish above expectation, that is the formula, right? Who has been the MVP the last few years?
They're going to have to win the division because Tom Brady's winning the division. He's going to throw like fucking 60 touchdowns.
Okay.
I think
when Ronald Jones gets 30 carries in a game where they win 31-3 and Brady doesn't have to throw that much, I think he'll be happy. I think he'll be satisfied. And then the Kyler's going to have to throw 50 passes or some equivalent of it. Yeah. Okay. I mean,
incredible.
I agreed with you that in the preseason market, he was extremely undervalued.
Thank you.
But I don't think that after 1 week, he's the best bet to make.
It's after 2 weeks. And
2 weeks, sorry.
If Kyler Murray, or I think Kyler Murray could be tomorrow a bigger favorite than Tom Brady. And if that's the case, the market is still fucking out of their mind. Before we get to the week 3 lines, it's important to remember that with week 2 now done, you need to have all the data at the palm of your hands at your fingertips to make the right decisions, whether it be for your fantasy team or the bets you need to make. And that's where PFF has it on lock for you. You can get all of PFF's locked article content, all of our fantasy rankings, projections, everything that you need, your wide receiver cornerback matchup to dominate your fantasy leagues, plus 0-100 grades for every single player with the PFF Edge subscription. It's just $9.99. And then you can get all of the betting tools that you need, our betting dashboards for spreads, money lines, totals, and our player props tool, plus our futures tool and our power rankings tool, plus the DFS optimizer with our elite subscription. Both are absolutely fantastic. Just depends what you're looking to do. Player props tool, by the way, was up massively. So go make that happen right now at pff.com if you don't have it already. Also, Fantrax. If you have not used Fantrax for your fantasy leagues yet, it's the best fantasy league manager, period, multi-team trades, player salary, and contract options, the whole deal. Use promo code PFF at Fantrax.com/PFF and get the chance to win a trip to any regular season game plus $6,000. Promo code PFF at Fantrax.com/PFF. And last but not least, you're looking for a place to place wagers in week 3, go to DraftKings and the DraftKings Sportsbook. It's the official sports betting partner of the NFL, and there's a reason they are by far the best that is out there, and they're giving new customers who use the promo code PFF $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. So do not miss out. Go get that money, place them on some props, and profit at DraftKings and DraftKings Sportsbook. They also have same game parlays, and you can go use the props tool and the betting dashboards of PFF to make those the best you possibly can and pull in a nice chunk of money. So go to DraftKings, use promo code PFF when you get there. You must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers are the ones that are eligible to minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager required, 1 per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. And last but not least, our friends at Western and Southern Financial Group are sponsoring this podcast. And this is a money-based podcast, so you should be grateful that Western and Southern Financial Group is a part of this. Because while you're focusing on your football lineup and the bets that you're going to place, Western and Southern give that same attention to your financial game plan. Their playbook of life insurance, retirement, and investment solutions can help you meet your needs. Something that we think about all the time. So you should as well. They'll help you understand where to put your money and how to achieve your financial goals. They won't help you place any bets, but like, you can do other things with your money anyways. Visit westernandsouthern.com to get started. And now to week 3. Are you ready?
I'm right here.
There are some fucking games this week. Thursday night football. The Carolina Panthers, who are 2-0 after dismantling the New Orleans Saints, are going to play the Houston Texans with Davis Mills in all likelihood. Our injury expert, Mario Plato, thinks that it will be Davis Mills. So I adjusted my guess based on that. I have Texans plus 8.5.
I have Texans plus 6.5.
It is Texans plus 7.5, it appears.
Yeah, at this point, the only thing you can do is bet Houston, right?
Yes. Are you doing that with no. Davis Mills? Of course not. I didn't think so either. Real quick.
What a disaster of a Thursday.
Are you buying or selling the Panthers?
The Panthers, well, I like I said previously, I had no under on them in the preseason market because of how simple their schedule was, right? So you had two home games to start the season. Then you had a road game on Thursday Night Football against a team with a rookie head coach. Mm-hmm. You don't face any teams coming off of a bye. This lands nicely for them. Fundamentally, I'm not buying them at all, right? They play in a division with Tampa. They're not beating out Tampa for that division. But at the same time, like, you have to respect that they're 2-0. I don't think they're good.
I like the Panthers. They have some good. I like their fans, but I have some bad news for them. This looks like the Sam Darnold Carolina Panthers for the next few years, because he's going to do what you said he was going to do. He's going to play just well enough for them to buy into more Sam Darnold.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate.
That's going to be unfortunate because they have some really fun weapons, like Joe Brady probably going to go be a head coach somewhere else. Maybe Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, hopefully Arizona. we'll get to the Cardinals in a second. Colts Titans. In all likelihood, Jacob Eason here because of the Carson Wentz injury.
Yeah, it's probably best. I mean, not to say that Jacob Eason's good, but the Carson Wentz thing is always going to piss you off, right? Like, because he's got talent to make some throws. You saw the touchdown to Pascal was pretty impressive, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is like there are plays where you just can't win with him. Look, I'm heavy on Indianapolis under this year, not to make the playoffs, all that stuff. I didn't think the market properly adjusted to the Wentz stuff. But I do think I do like Frank Reich, and I do like some of the things that they do there. I think knowing a priori that your quarterback sucks and that you have to play around it, right? Because having Wentz in there is more of like I should be able to play real quarterback play mm-hmm. stuff, right? Mm-hmm. If you play Jacob Eason or somebody else there, you sort of know what you're limited by and you can be smarter about that. I think that might help them long-term win some games, not this one. I have Tennessee laying 3.5. It's probably way too short.
Yeah, I have 6.5. My take here is that actually the difference between Carson Wentz and Jacob Eason maybe not as big as some people think, but also like Jacob Eason probably really, really sucks when he has to play in a real football game.
Can I pause though? I think Tennessee sucks too though.
Sure. This whole division sucks.
Yeah.
It's a week-to-week league, as we like to say. It appears that it is 5.
Yeah, 5 seems fair, actually.
I guess that seems fair. I mean, I kind of like the Titans. I also kind of hate the Titans.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Titans.
Yeah, it's a tough – they obviously rebounded this week. I mean, they started running play action, as you said, which is a good sign.
Yeah. They also just like – some of these teams' defenses can look really good in a game where, like, the pace is sort of something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, think about the 2017 Falcons, right? And then you start to, like, add more plays. We saw what happened to Kansas City's defense tonight. We saw what happened to the Ravens' defense against the Raiders. We saw what happened to Seattle's defense, right? Like, once the Titans played enough plays, they were able to lean on the Seattle Seahawks to a point where It was not pretty. Derrick Henry was an absolute moose today.
So this is kind of the thing, though. Like, I worry that the Colts come out and Jacob Eason goes, like, pick 6, 3-and-out, and it's a rumble fest. The concern would be for the Titans that their offensive line is really banged up.
Yeah.
And Taylor Lewan and I think Roger Saffold got injured in that game. Falcons Gigantes in the Meadowlands. Would you have
this
here?
Game? Holy shit!
It's gonna be great.
We're gonna be on the Falcons. I said Giants -1.5.
Okay, I think I nailed this one. Giants. I said Giants -3. It is Giants -3. A little juiced.
Yeah, actually. It's actually probably gonna trend to 3.5. Yeah. So what are the fundamentals here? Giants are getting 10 days off.
Yep.
Daniel Jones is playing better football than Matt Ryan. I didn't think I'd
ever say that.
Matt Ryan played 2.5 good quarters today. At the first part of the game, he looked like shit. The end of the game, he imploded. But in the middle part there was something.
Yep.
I can't stand the fact that they're leaning on Cordarrelle Patterson to do real things in this offense.
It's a weapon.
Look, for the sake of like our betting article, there's no way I'm taking the Falcons because I think you're going to get a true 3.5 at some point, given the way it looks. So for that point, I guess I'm staying away.
I just don't
want to bet the Falcons
as much
again.
As
they're
I
a
want
disaster.
To talk about that game. Okay, this is a good game. Chargers and Chiefs. This is a 1 p.m. game, which I believe is something to do with like Fox wanting everyone to watch Bucks Rams, which is a 4 p.m. game. I have the Chiefs as a 6.5 point favorite at home.
Yeah, I took Chiefs. Well, this was before. I mean, I had Chiefs laying 8.5. I did think the Chargers would lose today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a bet on Dallas.
It was 7 before Sunday night kicked. I think so. When I was debate, you know, the way I kind of go through this, I've talked about this before. I kind of think about the number where it's like, where would I not bet it either side kind of deal, you know? And when I moved the Chiefs to 7, I immediately thought to myself, you know what? The Chiefs they have a little Seahawks-ness to them where like they just play close games and the Chargers are explosive. They have playmakers all over the football field. This is going to be a close game. Like I'm not comfortable. I would bet the Chargers if the Chiefs were 7-point favorites.
Well, I think you'd probably be right there. I mean, I think the Chiefs are like a perfect tease down team. If this were to happen, like I say, it's 7.5, you tease them down. They're kind of they kind of play the game like they played it tonight, except for instead of fumbling, they kick the field goal and win, right? Like mm-hmm. That's kind of how you would see them play the game. They're not a team that's going to extend. Or they haven't been like, look, they what the last was it? They're like 0-9 against the spread the last 9 regular season games, right? 0-2 this year. So, and I believe it was 7 straight last year, or maybe there's a push or two in there. So,
what did you have it as?
I said 8.5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, I thought the Chargers look, and the Chargers, we can make fun of this idea all we want, but the Chargers are the Chargers still. Like Herbert threw a pick in the end zone. You know, they miss a field goal. They did all this Chargers shit and they lost a game. They lost a game they should have won. They're a better team than the Dallas Cowboys. And they're playing at home and they lost that game. And through 2 weeks, they've scored 37 points because, you know, yep. Herbert's third in the NFL in interceptions right now.
I thought it was a little bit of a trap game. With the Chiefs coming ahead. But here's the other interesting thing. SoFi Stadium was a Dallas Cowboys,
yes,
like home away from home. And I think we forgot about that we didn't. I mean, I certainly did not. I liked the Cowboys in that game.
It was that way, by the way, in Arizona, too, with Minnesota fans. Yeah. Like there are certain stadia where the road team travels well.
So that'd be interesting to see where that is. Do you see a line anywhere for that?
Let me look at Bet. I don't see it on Pinnacle. Let me see it. Bet Online is usually fairly quick with some of these. But I only see tomorrow's game, the Monday night game. So
it's a real shame.
It is a real shame. Good thing because I don't think we were going to bet it, right? Like I don't like betting the dog with Kansas City either because there's always just the potential that they'll just blow a team out. But I also would not lay the points with the Chiefs. We laid the points 2.5 with the Chiefs. I wouldn't lay when it got to 3.5. Everybody and their grandmother's taking the Chiefs. It's like how dumb is that? The only reason we took 2.5 last week is we knew it would get bigger. Yeah. Like we just knew. Like
if this is 7 or 7.5, I'm taking the Chargers and Brandon Staley. Bengals Steelers. In Pittsburgh, I said that the Steelers would be a 4-point favorite. What about you, sir?
I said 7.5.
Oh, wow. I am much closer than you. It is 4.5 right
okay,
now.
Okay, well, let's lay it with Pittsburgh then.
Really? Convince me.
The Bengals... last week, I was convinced that the Bengals may have taken a step forward and had an offense that could be representable against good defenses. And then the Bears, who I think are not a good defense, they're not a terrible defense, but they're not a good defense, made that offense look really bad. How do you... I'm making this argument based on defense, but I think Pittsburgh is good enough defensively to make Joe Burrow and the Bengals offense look bad. I'm going to make this about offense. I don't think the Bengals have graduated to a place where they only are getting a 4.5. Like last year, this line was what? It was like, I got to look back. Double digits?
Without Burrow. So
No. The first game.
Oh yeah, but that wasn't that early? It was very early in the season.
It was mid season or so. It was with Burrow.
Right. I get that. Okay. Here's my
okay, let me find this game.
So here's something that I think is interesting. This happened to the Steelers last year. They started to get some injuries on the defense. Defense was what was carrying them. And I don't think TJ Watt is going to play in this game. He went out with an oblique injury, a groin injury. I think Mario's leaning that he's not going to play in that game. And if he is, maybe he'll be a little hindered.
So he's worth like a 0.5 point. So it would be 5. Last year, the Bengals were coming off of a bye. They went to Pittsburgh. Road teams coming off a bye. We get a 0.5 point, let's say. Pittsburgh was favored by 6.5. So do we think over the course of what has happened the last year that the straits of these two teams has changed 2 points?
Absolutely.
You think the Bengals have
improved
that much?
People were so high on the Steelers last year. That line is garbage.
Okay.
Were they not? Were people not wrong about the Steelers? The Steelers are undefeated at that point.
Yeah, but I don't think the market actually the market wasn't in love with Pittsburgh until a little bit later on. Okay. So they went. I mean, this was, yeah. I mean, I don't think so. Like Pittsburgh was only favored. I guess they had just come off almost losing to Dallas as 14-point favorites when Dallas was starting something called Garrett Gilbert. You know, so I do think the market was kind of like, let's cool our jets here. Okay, well, we don't have to. I mean, I just, when I watched that offense today play, I was like, this is an offense that can do well against a bad defense like Minnesota. I don't think it can do well against a team like Pittsburgh. But then... I don't know if you can lay points with Big Ben anymore. He's terrible.
I mean, that's kind of my point. Is like,
who's the better quarterback here? It's Burrow, probably. The rest of literally everything is better on the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think.
The Bengals have a sneaky, decent defense.
Yeah, they're okay. They lost Ricardo Allen to a hand injury at the first. They're not as deep there. Trey Waynes is yet to play for the team after signing there.
All right, let's keep grinding here. Bears Browns in Cleveland. What'd you say?
Bears Browns. This is Cleveland.
Looks like it's going to be Justin Fields.
9.5 is what I said for Cleveland. Okay.
I have Browns by 7. It is Browns by 7.5. Interesting.
I don't want to bet against Justin Fields in his first start. Although if you were to bet against rookie quarterbacks in this league right now, other than when they played each other, you would be undefeated.
Yes.
So
I am going to be very interested to see what that offense looks like.
Speaking of, by the way, how bad? I'm like, Trevor Lawrence has been egregious. And Zach Wilson has been every bit as bad, if not worse, except for every once in a while he makes these throws that are just outlandish.
Yeah, they've
both been terrible. Mac Jones rough. Has been fine for the most part. Not great.
Had the opportunity to face the Jets,
which is a nice
Yeah, Mac Jones certainly has been the best. We'll get to another one here in a second. Ravens Lions in Detroit. I said that the Detroit Lions would be a 10-point underdog at home to the Baltimore Ravens.
So my thought process here was that San Francisco opened 7.5.
Yep.
Right. Ravens in their current straits prior to this week were probably a point worse than San Fran. So yep. I said the Ravens were gonna lay 6.5.
You are, I guess maybe because of the key numbers, it's a split. Ravens 7.5.
I think that makes sense now after Sunday Night Football, for sure. It could be a letdown spot, though.
That was pre-Sunday Night Football. I don't see it on Pinnacle.
It could be a letdown spot, though.
Sure. It could also be the Ravens beat really bad teams, and the Lions are really bad teams.
So far, the only thing we thought was maybe the Raiders were a really bad team, and we were wrong. So that could be the case. Do you think the Detroit Lions could play poorly enough tonight, Monday night, to warrant more points going to Baltimore?
Certainly.
Okay. Well, we don't even know what this number is, so
but I can't even find it anywhere.
Yeah.
If you can find it, I would bet the Ravens. Saints, Pats, Winston versus Mac Jones. This is in New England. What'd you have this as?
So New England would be favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I had 3.
It is 3, it looks like.
It is
actually
3.
Even more than 3. I'll take New Orleans here.
Yeah, I kind of will too. I could see – I think this is – again, I think people just don't know what to make of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And
– you could have some fatigue from, again, another week of travel with hurricane mm-hmm. and all that stuff. That could be your – desire to get off of this. You could also see this trending towards 3.5 and just wait. So maybe it's not the best of us to offer this right now because that it might not be the right number. Like, you could get a better number later, which is against the spirit of what we're trying to work with here.
Man, Jameis Winston looked bad. That mm-hmm. was Jameis Winston had a pre-review worse game than Zach Wilson.
Yeah, because at least Zach Wilson had positively graded plays. Jameis
didn't have any of those. Alvin Kamara had 30 combined yards. It was not great.
I just saw this tweet. This is the first time since the Barack Obama era that the Chiefs have not had at least a partial control of first place in the AFC West. Wow. Think about that.
That's what Chiefs Twitter is like right now.
Yeah. So we're in
How
shambles.
Are you doing?
We're in shambles.
The Arizona Cardinals are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. I said that the Jags would be a 6-point underdog.
I was a little less of whatever. I said 7.5. It appears to be 7.
Okay.
Trending towards 7.5. So
that makes sense. I mean, the Jaguars looked absolutely disastrous.
But so the only thing that Arizona has going for it is that they have a pass rush. Their secondaries.
Not great.
Laviska Shenault's injured with shoulder injury day-to-day. We're all day-to-day at this point. But like,
I mean, I thought the Jags getting 6 at home was decently sharp pick. I don't know that I don't like 7.5 here. But it does appear like it's moving in that direction.
Yeah, it's another let it go, an Elsa pick, as I call it.
I do think there's an opportunity here to fade. Look, the public gets so behind fantasy quarterbacks mm-hmm. that kill it for you, and that is exactly what Kyler Murray is. And they should have lost that game to the Vikings, and if they do, the narrative here is a lot different. Maybe it even crosses 7. So gets out to 7.5. I'll take the shitty ass Jaguars and then close my eyes and watch other games like Chargers Chiefs. Washington football team at the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills. I said they would be laying 7.5.
Okay. I have the Bills laying 6.5. We are on the other side.
9.5.
Wow.
We might be on the football team again.
And I love it.
You love it?
I love it. You hate the Washington football team.
I do.
Team.
No. I don't. Hate them. I don't hate the Washington football team. I think that it's so crazy because, like, my issue with the Washington football team was that the win total did not reflect the game-to-game betting lines. This is exactly what we're talking about. The Washington football team is going to be favored, what, in 3 games this year? And yet their win total was 8.5? How does that make sense? So I don't mind that taking them here. Do we think they'll get to 10? I don't think so. So let's just take 9.5.
Josh Allen right now, pending review, is
not good enough to
27th
be laying
9.5. In the NFL and PFF grade 59.3. And for those of you that might immediately say, no, but PFF hates Josh Allen. Buddy, he was a top 5 graded quarterback last year. He was amazing. And what's
not a lot of surplus value on that new contract so far.
What's happening right now is that he's just not making accurate throws with the football. That's it with him, right? Last year he was so accurate there. I like this. I think it's an opportunity where people will look at the Bills' score and not how they played in that game and just go, oh, they're a juggernaut.
And Josh Allen was terrible in the game today.
He did not play well in this game.
And so 2 straight weeks, you could not buy a basket. So, yeah, let's go Washington plus 9.5.
Our football team. Let's get it. The New York football Jets play the Denver Broncos and Teddy Bridgewater. Cortland Sutton also.
This is going to be a nightmare.
This is going to be an incredible game. I am a little nervous for Zach Wilson. He has not had exactly a great road.
Denver, by the way,
and Denver's good. I mean, they just made Trevor Lawrence look like shit.
If you bet Denver over, you're in a good spot right now. Chiefs are a little bit hurt. Denver's now 2-0, but 2-0 on the road, and now. Mm-hmm. They get to play in Denver, which is a notoriously difficult place to play early in the season. I said 7.5. I'm short.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be short here too. I said 7.
So it's 11.5. I think for religious reasons, we probably have to bet Jets plus 11.5.
We do.
I mean, look, that's going to have value, right? And we're trying to pick dollar bills up off the ground, George.
Yeah. 11 is a large number.
I mean, it's way too freaking much. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go, Jets. Fuck.
At some point, Zach Wilson's going to get it figured out, right?
Yeah, but maybe not against Von Miller and a stacked secondary.
Yeah, maybe not, but maybe. I mean, 11. I mean, Bridgewater's not exactly like a cover. I mean, isn't Teddy now like 34-13 and something against the spread as a starter in the NFL?
We'll find out because on the ESPN betting show, they
say that every
minus 12
yeah,
and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop.
Fox bet gets dragged. Now the ESPN show gets
dragged. Sorry,
dragged.
I just can't. They do like a 3-minute segment.
Intern Zach messages me on Slack, goes, yeah, Fox bets limited me to like $12 a bet. It's like, okay.
Okay, the Miami Dolphins are playing the Las Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas. I have no idea if Tua's bruised ribs will allow him to play in this game. And so I'm going to assume it's Jacoby Brissett, and I'll say that the Raiders are 5.5-point favorites.
I said 5.5, too. Look at us. It is 5.5. Okay, so no more bets on that one.
No more bets on that one.
Our Raiders about to be 3-0.
Yeah.
If you look at who's favorite.
Look, I've never gone all in on the Raiders had bite me in the ass ever.
Yeah. Maybe that Robert Mays article was right all along.
Yeah.
It was just 2 years too early.
2 years too early. I'm a little nervous about this one. Now, not with Jacoby Brissett so much, but I don't know. Like, the Raiders beat a Steelers team where TJ Watt got injured and Ben Roethlisberger was really bad. Like, You know, I don't want to overrate that as much as I want to, like, I want to fade the Steelers.
Yeah, it's okay not to bet this game. I don't think 5.5 is a place you want to go anyway.
No.
Right? Like, if you like the dog, you're hoping for 6. If you like the Raiders, that's probably too many points to lay for a team that has thus far been 3.5 and to 6-point dogs. So it's fine not to bet that. I'll be interested to see what our numbers end up saying. Total is 45.5, which suggests an increased respect for what the Raiders are doing defensively, but also a little bit of a what the hell was Miami doing, having scored 17 points in 2 games.
Seahawks Vikings. This is going to, I just tell you right now, 4 o'clock slate, we're gonna have Bucks Rams, we're gonna have these other 2 dog shit games, and Seahawks Vikings is gonna somehow just be the craziest game.
There's no way.
It's just gonna be bananas.
How many defensive touchdowns are gonna happen in this game? It's gonna be unreal.
It's gonna be crazy. I bet you Kirk and Russ both like put up crazy numbers. This is in Minnesota.
Yes.
I have the Vikings getting 1.5.
I said 2.5. It's 1. After this week, the number has moved towards Minnesota. If you just look at the money line, Seattle's -108 on Pinnacle. Minnesota's -102. So it's very slight favorite. The total is 56. There's zero respect for the defenses of these two teams playing indoors at US Bank Stadium. I don't think I could lay Seattle here, but I can absolutely not take Minnesota. Minnesota, it's hard to say this because I have a great deal of respect for his career, but the Minnesota Vikings are one of the worst coached teams in the NFL.
This is true.
You're talking about penalties. You're talking about punt returners fielding the ball at the 1-yard line. Talk about letting 40 seconds go off the clock so you can kick a moderately short field goal and miss it. You have no trust in your quarterback when he's actually kind of good. Like I've always thought this way, but Minnesota's just not a team you can bet on. But is Seattle? I don't know. Seattle's defense isn't stopping the Vikings.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Okay, the best game of the entire week is Bucks Rams in Los Angeles. I have the Rams getting 3 points at home.
I have Rams favored by 1.5.
Wow.
Not because I actually agree, but that's just what I guess the markets would look like. And that's what the markets are -1
and
trending to 1.5.
Oh.
I think a bet should just be Tampa Bay plus the money line price. So let's so take Tampa Bay plus. You could take +1. Let's just do +1 for the LOLs.
Yes, that's definitely what
at LA. We could even probably call it 1.5 at this point. Let's say Tampa Bay +1.5 to add to our list here. This is redonkulous.
This is
Stafford. Absurd. I mean, did Stafford look good today?
He also kind of got a little banged up.
He just looked like Stafford, right? Same shit every single game. You have some throws where you're like, oh, that's a pretty damn good throw. And then you have him shaking his hand on the sideline.
They barely beat Carson fucking Wentz, and they're a favorite to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And the Colts got inside the 5-yard line twice and didn't score in that game. Like, the Colts could have won. The Colts,
I can't believe that the Rams are favored in this game. Yeah, this is ridiculous. Fucking absurd.
This is the first manifestation of the fact that the markets are drunk on the Los Angeles. I almost said St. Louis Rams.
And just not watching games. That's fucking hilarious, man.
I'm getting a little
coffee starting to kick in now.
Yeah.
Sunday Night Football is the Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers, the 2-0 San Francisco 49ers against probably the 1-1 Green Bay Packers. The Niners have had the Packers number when they've been healthy.
Yeah, when they had the full complement of players. Yeah. You remember they were sent out to slaughter last year in Thursday Night Football, but yeah.
Yeah. This one I really struggled with. And I have it as Niners +1.5.
Okay, I have Niners laying 2.5 for the same reason I had the Rams. with what they were, because the markets love San Fran.
True.
And the
Oh my God.
What?
Before Sunday Night Football, it was Niners minus four.
I mean, yeah. We can't, it's not there anymore, right?
Did people watch Jimmy Garoppolo play football today?
I'll say this just as a side note. The Niners on offense are physical as hell. The Packers on defense are soft.
A little soft.
Yeah. So like that might, but who's going to cover Davante Adams for that team?
No one.
Yeah. I mean, if you can find a four, I'll take the Packers. I don't think it's available anymore.
First off, I'm offended because I take my guessing of the lines very seriously. What the fuck? The 49ers beat the Detroit Lions of kneecap biting and eating fame.
Ilk.
Okay. Yeah. They then barely beat the Eagles. These are two teams at the end of the year that are going to be sitting there going, fuck, I wish we had traded up to get a quarterback last year because this quarterback class sucks ass.
But isn't this just the implied market? So San Fran, let's say you give 2 points of home field advantage.
Which I think is a little bit much. But
for San Fran.
No, Faithful's good now.
Yeah, Faithful's good now.
Yeah.
It's not old Candlestick.
It ain't old Candlestick.
Yeah. But then you say, okay, 2 points, San Francisco better. Like if you look at the preseason betting markets, that was absolutely true about what they were saying.
Yes. I will patently reject that the 49ers should be power ranked higher than the Packers.
Okay. All right, so if we can find a four, let's go with Green Bay plus four. I don't think we can, and so I don't think it's fair for us to write it up, but I do think if you do see those things popping up, and let's say Green Bay plays a game, let's say they beat Ted Lasso by like seven, then
that's offensive.
And this Ted pops Lasso up as 3.5, you absolutely grab Green Bay, right?
Yes.
Okay.
1,000%.
Offensive to Ted Lasso or offensive to Dan Campbell?
No, Ted Lasso.
Okay. Let's be predictive. We have one more game on. Let's be predictive. Over under number of nauseating segments by ESPN tonight about Dan Campbell and the culture. Seven. Emphasis on cult.
I mean, if you're watching the ESPN feed, like, which I will not be. I'll be watching Manning.
Okay.
How funny is that, by the way, though, that they have two feeds of the game and the one they put on ESPN2 is going to out.
Actually, I'm going to – my recommendation station – when I'm at home watching games, I don't listen to anything. I listen to books on tape while the games are on. But, like, that's just part of me.
You're missing out.
Maybe.
Eagles-Cowboys is Monday Night Football. What a joy that's going to be. I have Cowboys minus 3.5.
I have Cowboys minus 6.5.
Holy fuck.
And you're more right than me.
It is minus 4. I think it could end up at 3.5.
After watching the games this week, Dallas is the favorite to win that division, right?
Of course.
Right? Like, yeah. Dak's the only thing in that division that matters, isn't it? Isn't he?
Yeah, Brandon Graham out.
Jalen Hurts not the second coming.
Well, he wasn't this week.
A week-to-week league, too.
Yeah. Tolan's game is 51.5, too.
Dude, that's under for me, man.
I do like under.
Under 51.5? Should we just grab that?
Yeah.
Because Dallas, what did Dallas play to? I know when we were on the show, Ian Harditz was like, look, the total is 55, and I can't. And it's like, no, these teams play, you know, totals were kind of under today again, too. I can't remember. In the 4 o'clock hour, actually, a lot of the games went over. But like, that's way too much, right?
I do like a little under there.
All right. Those are our four picks then.
Let's do a quick look at the totals. Are there any totals that stick out to you?
Okay. Cardinals, Jags at 52. I do think that there's a situation like what happened this week, although Denver's defense is quite good, so that might be why that game was clamped down points-wise. Mm-hmm. It could if Lawrence is like, you know, throwing a lot of turnover-worthy plays and big-time throws, which I think is possible against this Cardinals defense, then 52 is a sale, right? Like, because Cardinals are going to put up their end of the bargain. Titans-Colts, 50, probably fine. Titans are terrible defensively. Like, yep. I do think the Colts quarterback, after that game, we're going to be like, oh, Jacob Eason, actually, is he the next Taylor Heinicke? And like, yeah. No. So I lay off that one. Bills football team, 46.5 seems fair. Saints Patriots, 43 seems fair. Falcons Giants, I would take a piece of under 48.5 on that one.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think people are overreacting to the fact that Giants played an over game.
Yeah, yeah.
On Thursday Night Football.
Is it possible to overreact to how bad the Atlanta Falcons defense
no,
is?
No.
I don't think so.
The Falcons defense did get some stops today.
Yeah.
Like one or two.
Bears-Browns is 47. This one's interesting to me.
Yeah, Fields is too uncertain for me, man. Like, he could blow up this game.
Yeah, I mean, I like over 47.
Yeah.
Bengals-Steelers, that could be a hideous game. It's 44.5.
Dolphins-Raiders, we also talked about that. That's, you don't want to touch that with the quarterback uncertainty. Jets. Jets-Broncos at 41.5.
This is my favorite one.
Over?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's put that down.
Bucks-Rams, 54. By the way, the Thursday nighter was what, 40, got to 40.5. That was an easy one.
Yeah.
Bucks-Rams, 54. This is one, again, where like I think there could be value on
under,
but it's going to move up. This will get to 56.
You don't want to touch it. Yeah, I mean, because we could see 39.5 in Jets-Broncos before it turns, especially if there's, like, weather in Denver and stuff. Yep. Like, you know.
Seahawks-Vikings, 56. And this might get to 57.5.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, right now people are betting under because 56 is a key number, but you're absolutely right about.
And then Eagles-Cowboys, 51.5, which we just talked about. That's a podcast. Anything else?
Nope.
I've got a recommendation for the people.
I have one too as well.
Oh, we're going to do a little recommendation on Sundays. Why not?
Well, we haven't been doing it on Wednesday.
I know. Get the people going here.
We haven't.
Give us your recommendation.
I read, listened to a book on tape. I kind of split it here. There's a book called Comedy, Sex, God by Pete Holmes, who's a comedian, very funny gentleman. I think you would like it because you have some kind of a similar background as I do in many ways. But it was a very funny, like, you know, he just sort of talked about his life and I found that interesting. Some biographies are very hit or miss, but like the good ones are always worth it.
It's a great title for a book name, by the way. Here's my recommendation. I was in New York last week, ate out a bunch and, best pizza I've had in New York is at Roberta's in Brooklyn. I went to John's of Bleecker Street as well. It was not nearly as good as Roberta's, and it's held in very, very high regard. People think it is fantastic, and it is fantastic. Not as good as Roberta's. Also, my other, like, it's a not New York-style pizza, but artichoke pizza. That's the name of the place. In New York City is very, very good, but also like unique. Roberta's was the best I've had. And that's my food recommendation from New York. Maybe I'll have another one on Wednesday. You never know. That was our podcast. We love you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back on Wednesday night. Thank you, Patrick Mahomes, for the touchdowns. See you.